Well, my wife has a dream that someday she would own a coffee house. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be talking about coffee houses today. They're a place for people to meet, to talk, exchange ideas. They're a facilitator for conversation and a barometer, in some cases, of an area's economic health. The more coffee houses, the more health of the economy, maybe. I don't know. We'll find out when we visit with Jeff Hagen. Jeff is the author and illustrator of the book Brewed Awakenings, A Journey to Coffee Houses in Wisconsin and Beyond. It's published by Itchy Cat Press. He's also the author of Fry Me to the Moon. We had so much fun talking with him about that. He's also the author of Steeplechase and Hiawatha Passing. Always a good time when Jeff comes by. And certainly if you'd like to join in, maybe you've got a favorite coffee house in Wisconsin somewhere, or maybe you got a question about coffee. Well, Jeff's the guy. He can answer the questions at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Jeff Hagen with us by phone. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Oh, glad to be here, Larry.
You've got a fun book. I'm enjoying going through it. And you start with a little history of coffee and how it got started. I thought I had never heard that story, and maybe you could tell us that.
Yeah. Contrary to belief, coffee was not discovered by humans like the Hills brothers or any of the Folgers people. It was discovered by an animal.
An animal, and yes. Was it a goat?
Yeah, it was. The story goes that 1,000 years ago in Ethiopia, there was a little shepherd. His name was Kaladi, and he had a flock of 15 goats. And his daily routine would be he would take the goats up the mountain that was above his village, and he would sit down on a rock, and he would take out a flute, start playing the flute, and the goats would go up the hill, up the mountain, and forage for the rest of the day. And at the end of the day, he blew a sharp note on his flute, and the goats would return down, and then he would go back down to the village before nightfall. Well, one day, at the end of the day, he blew his flute, and nothing happened. Nothing came down the mountain. So he blew it again, and he got panicky and started to run up the mountain path. And in a short time, he came upon a clearing. And in that clearing, he saw his goats, and they were all acting really strange. They were bucking each other, and they were jumping up and down, and they were acting goofy, basically. And they were chewing. He noticed they were chewing this berry, and they were chewing, and they were getting real frisky. actually, it was the first coffee buzz in history. And he ran away in fright because he thought that they had been demonically possessed. So he ran down the mountain. And one of the first people they ran into in the village was one of the village elders. And he was afraid to go tell his father that he came back without his goats. And so the elder went up the mountain with him and came to the clearing and noticed the same kind of activity and said, well, I'll help you gather the goats. And he did. He got them back, and he got them so that Kaladi could bring them down. But in the same time, he gathered up some of these berries, and he brought them back down to the village, and he chewed them, and he thought it was a kind of a bitter, unusual taste, and he was the type of man who liked to experiment with different things, so he ground them up, and he put them in boiling water, and hence coffee was discovered, and this little town was known as the coffee merchant of the area. And it's funny, I cross-referenced this story several times with different research pieces that I used. There's a great book out called Uncommon Grounds, The History of Coffee and How It Transformed the World, and also a book called Six Glasses That Changed the World. And also on the Internet, I found the same story kept coming up cross-reference. So it's how I start the book. It's from Ethiopia to Eagle River is the story.
I love that. And why did you decide to write a book about the coffee houses of the state?
Well, you know, Larry, it was a logical, I guess, progression for me. I'm not a food. I want to make this clear. I'm not a food expert. Mm-hmm. I'm just an average Joe. And one of the things I like fish fries, I like hamburgers, and I like coffee. Mm-hmm. And several years ago, after my hamburger book came out, I happened to be at a coffee shop. I actually do a lot of my work at coffee shops.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, why not do something about this? And so I started to read about them. And then I put together, to kind of test the water, I made an article that the Milwaukee Journal ran on a travel page about six coffee houses in a journey to six coffee houses in the Midwest, and I called it "Romancing the Scone." And we picked up from that, and somebody said, "You know, you have the body of a book there; you should go with that." And so I did. I got a great press, this Itchy Cat Press, which is out of Blue Mountain, Wisconsin. It's just been it's a great little house, and they picked it up, and we're going with it.
Well, Mark in Greenwood has a question for you, so let's go to Mark.
Sure.
Mark, hi.
Hi. Now, I don't know if it's technically under the category you're looking for, but the best place to get coffee, my opinion as a local pastor, is the Church Fellowship Hall.
Oh, really?
It depends who's serving that day and how the coffee's going to be. But people slow down, and they sit down and relax, and you get to know people.
Yes.
Over a cup of coffee.
Yes.
The best place I know is the Church Fellowship Hall after worship on Sunday.
That's great.
That's great. And you know, part of the of a coffee house or a fellowship hall is that makes the coffee, in some ways, is the conversation, isn't it?
Well, it is. And here's the thing that I noticed. This book and the subject coffee, it goes much deeper than the liquid. It goes into the communal things that happen at these places. Also, the atmosphere. I mean, if you compare, you know, these are third places. These are places that I emphasize in the book that are between home and work, where we like to stop and linger. And it's a healthy thing. If you stop and linger at a bar, it's not a healthy thing. You know, things can go downhill fast. But at a coffee house, you have that ritual. And it's either in the morning or it can be in the evening, where you stop and you're among friends. And the other thing that's different about this, that's different than a bar, is it's okay to be by yourself in a coffee shop. You're accepted in a communal circle. Whereas if you're in a bar and you're by yourself, there's, you know, different types of judgments that go on.
Yeah, and you've got a great story in the book about one of the coffee houses that was a former bar.
Oh.
And I love that story because it had to do with the husband who used to spend time at the bar.
Yeah, it's the Black Cat. It's up in Ashland, and it's just one of the neatest coffee shops. I actually put that in that little Milwaukee Journal piece. And just an aside on it, it also was there was a movie made up there several years called A Simple Plan that Billy Bob Thornton was in,
right,
and Bridget Fonda, and they used part of the Black Cat for part of the of the filming on it, and it was used as a bar for many, many years. And the thing that I found ironic about it is they got a great owner named Honor Speckerman, and she was telling me that one of her best stories about the place was that for many, many years, this husband and wife who lived in Ashland, the wife would have to come in and drag the husband out of the bar at the end of the evening or the end of the football game, whatever. And now the tables have been reversed because she's in there drinking coffee and he comes out and says, "Honey, it's time to come home."
It's a great story. Lyle and Strum, let's go to you next. Hi, Lyle.
Yeah, we're short time here. I went out of state once and down to Louisiana, and I found a chicory and coffee blend that was just marvelous. But is there any place in Wisconsin where you could get some chicory blended coffee?
I don't know that. I mean, you know, ironically, when I had chicory in coffee was when I was in Russia, and it was because of a shortage. I don't know of any of the shops. I went to almost 200 And I don't recall any of them having chicory.
But you know what, Lyle? You stay listening.
Yeah, there'll be somebody
else. Somebody is going to know where you can get coffee with a chicory in it. And I'll just bet you that. So don't go away. Stay listening, and we'll get somebody calling in. The number, by the way, is 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. If you know anything about coffee and chicory or where Lyle can get it, give us a call. And maybe you have another question or another comment about a coffee house in Wisconsin or elsewhere. And we'd love to hear from you about that as well. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at a whimsical and entertaining guide to independent coffee shops around Wisconsin and nearby. Jeff Hagen is the author and illustrator of Brewed Awakenings, A Journey to Coffee Houses in Wisconsin and Beyond. It's published by Itchy Cat Press, and really pleased to have him with us today. And certainly, if you have some questions about the coffee houses, give us a call. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. And, Jeff, we had several calls about the chicory in coffee. I know Woodman's Grocery Stores carries a line of chicory coffee. Or you can purchase the Community Coffee brand online, I'm told. Or you can buy the Louisiane brand at your local store, and you can call New Orleans Famous Flavor. New Orleans Famous Flavor, and the number is 800-554-7234, 554-7234. That's an 800 number, and you can get your chicory coffee. How about that?
That's great. This is, you know, your program is like a coffee clearinghouse.
It's sort of like a big coffee clutch, isn't it?
Right.
A lot of people are drinking coffee while they're listening. I'm pretty sure of that. Well, I'll tell you what. Mike in Minneapolis has a question or comment. Mike, hi.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Jeff, I was wondering if you did any research coffee drinking in the Minneapolis area.
I did.
Did you hit up the Uptown area?
Oh, I over by Lake Street and Hennepin.
Lake Street and Hennepin kind of area, that's right.
I did. I found a little place called Isles Buns and Coffee. And then I went to a couple other places, a sort of a Victorian house up there. I had to kind of spread it out, so I used Isles for the segment of that part of the book.
I'm going to have to check that out. My normal coffee house is Uncommon Grounds.
I got it. It's
and,
in there.
Little thing that's interesting about that is there's a large population of young men and women in sobriety in Minneapolis area who no longer drink.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of the coffee houses in the uptown area have sort of taken the place of some of the bars where, you know, people who are in their 20s and young, they go there to congregate and meet other people as opposed to hanging out in bars.
Excellent.
Oh, that's great. And you have Uncommon Grounds in your book, Jeff.
Yeah.
Uncommon Grounds is in the book. Great. I'm going to have to pick that up.
Yeah. We just had a signing up there at the Minneapolis Convention Center. So it is in the Minneapolis area.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Elizabeth in Auburndale, hi to you.
Hello, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have to confess, Jeff, I am sort of jealous of your life. it must be great to be able to drive around and have all this good coffee. My question is in regard to, I'm a full-time college student, and kind of like to promote the idea of fair trade based on what I've been learning about the coffee industry. I'm wondering what percentage, if any, of the coffee houses that you experienced are using fair trade coffees?
That's a very good question. I don't have the answer to that. I did go to independents. I stayed away from the chains on this. And there was a number of them in Madison. Actually, one is called Fair Trade, and it's on State Street in Michelangelo's. And I know they were very conscious of that, and I actually used them to tell the world about Fair Trade and Shade Grown and other types of philosophical approaches to marketing coffee. I don't know the percentage of it, though. I don't have that answer for you. I wanted to have most of them be their own independent avenue, and so, but I don't know how many had fair trade and how many didn't.
But you do highlight the fair trade issue in your book.
I do. Yeah, I want a part of my my mission on this is to make it lighthearted, because after all, it is coffee.
Yeah.
And but I also wanted to educate the public, and for that, I basically was just the person who went in and interviewed we have a roaster in there talking about the perfect roast. We have these wonderful people on State Street at Fair Trade talking about fair trade and other things about the coffee industry. And I wanted them, and also have coffee drinkers in there that know a lot more about coffee than I do, that have a platform to speak to the reading public.
That's cool. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Robin in Kenosha, hi to you.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I love coffee. Unfortunately, I was just having a discussion with someone that said, and I said, I think 10 cups a day is a little excessive. So we're weaning ourselves off. But as a herbalist, I'm actually a big fan of doing things my own. And I make... I have roasted my own coffee beans in the past just because I wanted to see if I could do it. But I have an excellent source for chicory root, which is actually a really nice spring tonic herb and helps build up nice bacteria in your digestive system. And I was wondering if I could share my source if you were a do-it-yourselfer and wanted to mix your own chicory root in your own coffee.
Sure.
Okay. I like mountainroseherbs.com to get chicory root and do it myself, because I find the blends that you can get at the store really strong, and really the chicory is just really, really strong in those. So that might be an option for some of your listeners.
So it's called, what is it again now? It's
MountainRoseHerbs.com.
MountainRoseHerbs.com.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and I'm really enjoying this because I do. I think nothing better than to sit in a coffee shop on a Sunday afternoon and just watching the world go by, as long as it's an independent coffee shop. So thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Yeah, you visited 200 coffee shops, Jeff, for this book?
Right. You could say that I'm well caffeinated. I'm not going to be able to sleep for six and a half years, and I'm kind of like a hummingbird on steroids right now.
Yeah.
But someone had to do this.
I tell you what, I love, you mentioned hummingbirds. I loved your top 10 signs that you may be drinking too much coffee, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but... But the one that you mentioned about hummingbirds is one sign you may have been drinking too much coffee. You wonder aloud why hummingbirds are so slow and lethargic. That's great. Oh, boy. Josie in Crystal Lake, Illinois, your turn. Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Great. Thank you for calling.
It's a great show. There's a coffee shop, an independently owned fair trade coffee shop called The Conscious Cup in Crystal Lake, Illinois, not too far from Wisconsin. And they encourage local artists to bring in their work and show it. And also, they raise money for a variety of causes. They put a cafeteria in a school, I think it was in Mexico, and it's just a great, great coffee shop.
Oh, what's the name of it again?
It's called The Conscious Cup.
The Conscious Cup. And, you know, coffee houses serve that kind of function in a community, don't they, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's really neat because, in a way, it harkens back to Main Street USA in the day when the general store would be the meeting place for everybody in the community. You know, they'd sit around, or, you know, they'd sit on a bench or a Cracker Barrel or something, and everybody would get caught up on the local news that was going on. And it was a communal, a convivial kind of center place. And I think coffee shops are taking on that role. And it's a real healthy thing. And particularly, I mean, I've always been, even though I grew up in the city, I've always been someone who loves small towns. And I've noticed over the years, traveling through the Midwest, how many small towns are dying out because of the big box stores out on the outskirts and chain things coming through and taking out you know, the vitality of Main Street. I think coffee houses are returning that vitality to Main Street.
And as you point out, you have a number of small communities that you feature in the book that really have excellent coffee houses.
Oh, indeed. There's one, Rochester, little town of 1,100 people. I mean, I didn't even know where it was. I always thought of Rochester, Minnesota, with a Mayo Clinic, and Rochester, New York. And somebody suggested, oh, you got to go to Rochester. And I said, where is it? I'd lived in Wisconsin almost 30 years, and I never had been there. But it's a cute little town that's southwest of Milwaukee, and they have a great little coffee shop called Stir Crazy. And I've been in large cities and in Europe in coffee houses. And little Stir Crazy and a lot of these places like Siskoit Bay up in Cornucopia and some of the other places, their coffee is as good as any of the big city places are.
That's great. And I love the little stories that you have with each of the coffee houses that you feature. Reed in Clintonville, hello to you.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. It's afternoon. Anyway,
afternoon.
I just want to say we're so happy here in Clintonville. We finally have a new coffee shop. We had one, and it closed, and about a year and a half or 2 years later now we have one. Once again. Also in Shawano, there's Books and Beans, and there is a small roaster in Shawano, and I apologize, I don't know the name of the folks. When I come to Milwaukee, I go to Altera, and there is a roaster on Murray Avenue, Boom Brothers, and Dan is such a nice man, but I think he's primarily wholesale. And then, of course, if you go to Minneapolis, or go to St. Paul, pardon me, Dunn Brothers is quite well-known, and we do go there a lot. And I'll give you two more that are out of state, and I have to apologize, but they're two of my favorites out west. Helena, Montana, Morning Light, and Bozeman, Montana, the Leaf and Bean. And are you familiar with CoffeeGeek.com?
No, I'm not.
Oh, CoffeeGeek.com is a great website, and I think there's a... The man, I think, is an MD in the Milwaukee area, and he, on occasion, has reviewed coffee products, if not just coffee, but like machines and grinders and so forth.
Wow. Thanks for the contribution on that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And, boy, lots of callers online. Karen in Oconomowoc, it's your turn. Hi, Karen.
Well, good afternoon. I love the energy of all the callers. You can tell we're all coffee drinkers.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I just want to point out to the author, I'm sure this coffee shop perhaps was not open when you started writing your book, but anyone that's heading north on 51 or 39 in Wisconsin, you have to stop in Coloma, because right on highway, off of Highway 21, in the little town of Coloma, is the Coloma Coffee House, and they have evolved from a very small historical building that they have renovated, and now they have a fabulous full menu. Their coffees are great. The owners, Stephen and Chris, are two of the friendliest, most wonderful people, and the community has just embraced them. They have helped with additions, and it's right in the heart of Coloma. Fabulous people, great coffees, and I would encourage everybody to stop in. It's become our favorite, even though we don't even live near them. But I appreciate the topic. It's just fabulous. So please, for your next book, include them.
All right. Thanks, Karen. Oh, yeah. It's so hard to, places come and go, and you've visited a couple of hundred places, but it's tough to hit every one.
Well, it is. The sad thing about this is when I started the book 4 years ago, and I think it was four or five of the places that I visited, drew, and interviewed went out of business. And for various reasons. It wasn't so much, it always wasn't the same reason, but there's a lot of them out there. And certainly I mentioned in the book that I didn't get them all, but... it's something that I think it's a good thing for small towns to start this up, because again I think there's the human quality in it is just so deep and rich.
Chris in Burlington, it's your turn. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi. As a truck driver, I find coffee, my livelihood pretty much depends on it here. So, and over the years, I've really become a coffee snob, more or less, because there's only certain brands or places that I'll stop. And coincidentally, I just happen to be headed towards Coloma. I'm probably 10 minutes away from there right now. So I know where I'm going to stop when I get there. The thing that I wanted to ask about was there's a place in Milwaukee that I've never gotten to, but I've heard really good things about called Sven's Coffee Shop. And I believe they roast a brand there that I bought online. It's of all things, it's an Ethiopian brand of coffee that I can't remember what the website is for, but it just has beautiful chocolatey undertones to it. It's just a wonderful roast. And I'll just leave you with the one last thought here, and that is that coffee is much like beer. You never really own it. You just rent it.
That's right. Do you know about Sven's Coffee?
I don't. I don't know about that one. I went to several of them in Milwaukee, but not that one.
All right. Which one did you, was there one in particular you liked in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I'll tell you. There's a couple there that were well, more than a couple. First of all, this has already been mentioned. One of your callers already mentioned this name, Altura.
Yes.
And it's like the mothership of coffee in Wisconsin. I'm not kidding you. I was so impressed with their coffee. They have several shops. The one that I featured in a book, an illustrated book, was the one that's down on the lakeshore, which is an old pumping station that they've converted into a beautiful, beautiful building that they've converted into a coffee shop. The other one's Rochambeau, which is up on Brady Street, is really neat, real eclectic. I went to Fuel and Comet and a couple of the other ones over there. I can't recall off the top of my head, but... again, a lot of really neat little urban coffee shops there.
I've been to the Altura at the lake, and that it is a cool place, that's for sure. Linda in Platteville, hi to you.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Hey, first of all, I wanted to say, Jeff Hagen, we miss you. This is Linda Metzger from Badger Brothers Coffee.
Hi, Linda.
How are you doing? I'm so sorry that we missed you up in Mount Horeb at the library. I think I missed the date for when we were supposed to be up there. We did go up there, but they were closed. So anyway, I just wanted to say I apologize for that, and I'm so excited to see your book.
Well, this is, I'll tell you, thanks, Linda. This is a great coffee shop that Linda's with. It's called Badger Brothers, and it's, when I first started this quest 4 years ago, somebody told me about Linda and Bob's shop, and I went out there, and I was so impressed with it, and they're one of the best ones in the state.
Aw, that's so nice. Jeff, you didn't have to say that just because I'm on the phone.
thanks, Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
Appreciate it very much. And it's Badger Brothers Coffee.
Badger Brothers Coffee. And it's just the neatest little place in the corner. And they have such a neat philosophy. They're one of the people that I talked to that had such a strong conviction about revitalizing Main Street. And they're so outgoing, and it's just a great atmosphere. It really is one of the best places I went to.
And there's a great story in your book. If I remember, Bob was offering to work for a man in his shop for free in exchange for learning how to be a roaster, I believe,
or something. A barista.
Yeah, and a barista.
I got to tell you that Bob worked for BP. Oil, I believe, in Alaska, and you know he has a college degree, I believe, in engineering. So he had a high-paying job, and he and Linda used to, he had this great job. They were up there in Alaska, and they used to drink coffee in Anchorage, in a little coffee shop, and the big corporate had decided to. Put everybody on furlough for a while, and they were going to decide who they were going to let go and who they were going to keep. And during that furlough, Bob and Linda discussed this and said, do we want to have our life controlled by, somebody else, even though we've got a job and everything, or do we want to control our own destiny? And so they were sitting around a coffee shop, and they were looking down at a coffee shop, and one of them said, well, what if we opened a coffee shop? And Bob said, we don't know anything about coffee. And they had this great coffee shop owner nearby who they had been going to for many, many years. And they asked him, and they said, listen, if we were to, if you train Bob, Bob said, if you would train me to be a barista, I'll work for free. And because we want to open a coffee shop. Now, we wouldn't be a competitor of you. We're going back to the Midwest. But if would you show me how to become, you know, from the ground floor up on how to do coffee, a coffee shop, and be a barista? And the guy said, yeah, but I insist on paying you. And Bob says, no, I'm making quite a bit of money with BP. That's all right. He says, no, I insist on it. So they got in a sort of argument. And finally, Bob said, all right, if you're going to insist on paying me, because he'd go in there, he'd work 25 hours a week free, learning how to be the coffee trade.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you're going to pay me, I insist that you make the check out to Habitat for Humanity.
And donate it.
And he did. And then he came down with that knowledge, and they opened their own shop in Platteville.
Well, that tells you the kind of people they are, doesn't
it? They're great
people. Badger Brothers Coffee. Well, let's see if we've got time for Trish in Thorpe. Hi, Trish.
Hello.
How are you?
Very good. I'm just calling to make a comment about a very quaint little coffee shop that's just coming into its second year here in Thorpe. It's called Carrie's Coffee. Without her, I think I'd probably die.
In Thorpe, Wisconsin.
Correct, on Highway 29. So if you're traveling down the highway and you need that cup of joe, it's right there along the way. Downtown the city. She's got a small deli sandwiches and some treats and a very nice little coffee shop.
Thanks for calling. And, you know, it's just shows you, and all the calls we've had, Jeff, people are passionate about their coffee and their local coffee houses.
Oh, yeah. And I love that loyalty. It's just great. It is. It's a combination of both, and it's nice to see that.
Well, I'll tell you what. We've got maybe time for Ken in Elgin, Illinois. Ken, hi.
Hi, Larry. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I find the names of these coffee houses very fun and unusual. And I wondered if your guest had any particular, maybe one or two unusual names for coffee houses that really stick out in his mind.
I sure do. I've got I'll read you, at the end of my book, I've got something called the Yum Yum List. And it's about it's exactly what you were talking about, the creativity of coffee houses. I'll just give you about.
Give me a three or four. Huh? You got about 20 seconds.
20 seconds, okay. Here's a couple places that I visited. Yum Yum, Java Dock, Flying Saucer Cafe, Hi-Fi Cafe, Brew Bayou, Fire Escape, Lava Java, Moon Dance. Latte Da, Fuel, Comet, The Daily Grind, All the Tea in China, Grandma Bonnie's, Ground Zero, and Bronze Bean.
And thanks a latte. And thank you a latte, Jeff Hagan, for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry. It was my pleasure.
I really appreciate it. Jeff Hagan, pick up a copy of his book. It's called Brewed Awakenings, An Illustrated Journey to Coffee Houses in Wisconsin and Beyond. He's a great illustrator as well, and there's some fun illustrations in his book. It's published by Itchy Cat Press. And thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.